Hello, and welcome finally to a long-awaited Connecting Consciousness podcast. Sometimes we, we're not as accurate to time as we should be, but it has been very difficult. I don't generally jump at the first thing that goes wrong and say, oh, that's an attack, or, this is an attack. And I've known a number of people that every time anything went wrong, they would immediately say that, and it gets a bit wearing in the end. So I've always, not fallen down on that one, or tried not to. But these last few weeks, in fact, ever since we got involved with the 5G BioShield sticks, have been incredibly difficult. And the last time that I can recall this sort of unwanted interest was 2015, when I, Connected Consciousness, worked with many of you on the Hadron Collider, the CERN device, and the kickback from that, not just for those around me, but those who were helping at a distance, was quite severe. And this is sort of a follow-on. And it's an old saying, isn't it, that if they're attacking you, then you must be doing something good. Well, that's okay, but the reality is that it is, you're the one getting kicked. So yes, while it may sound fun to say that, actually it's not fun to be on the receiving end. So it has been a bit difficult, and that's why not being able to do the podcast. It isn't just a simple case, ladies and gentlemen, of just pulling a chair up and, oh, let's do, have a cup of tea and just do a little podcast. Or, this is serious business in the sense that I have to have the intel, I have to have the information, I have to be right. There's a lot of stuff that has to go on. And as incredible as it may sound, to get 1 hour uninterrupted is proving pretty difficult. It's pretty difficult. So looks like I've got the time now. Looks like we can do that. It was interesting that last week I spoke to a retired an American military guy. I'm not going to give his name or his details. Never spoke to him before. He did a YouTube video. Becky spotted that, brought that to my attention. I looked at it and said, this guy's genuine. I really would like to have a chat. And indeed, he'd had heard of me. And the reason he'd heard of me was that in 2015, he worked with many people to help to do what we needed to do with the Hadron Collider, and I didn't even know it existed. And what's become apparent is that there were a number of people in the military, in other sort of security operations, who understood exactly what my concerns about the Hadron Collider were at that juncture in time. Lots of people have talked about the Hadron Collider, but at that particular moment, in 2015, and all assisted and all helped. And what this person said to me was that his employer does not allow him or anyone like him to be a member of Connecting Consciousness. They can't be associated like that, but they are allowed to help individually, and sometimes the organizations also lend a hand. And I thought that was very interesting. So the last time I felt the sort of pressure that we're getting at the moment was literally Hadron. And so I think that these 5G sticks are upsetting somebody. So we're going to obviously be supporting it, because clearly if they're coming at me, and I guess they're coming at the people who are the scientists, that tells us that we're on a good thing here. Right, we've got a ton of questions on the virus in China, and a ton of questions on the sticks. So what I'm going to do is not take any questions on those two topics, but I'm going to address them now and hope that that covers it. So let's start with the sticks. The cutoff date for buy one, get one free, and that sounds very commercial, but I can't think of another way of doing it, was to have been midnight yesterday from my time, because today is the 1st of February. But I managed to get that extended, and there's a reason why we've now got a 2-week extension. So in other words, in up to 2 weeks from today, you can still, if you go through my website, simonparkes.org, you can still buy one and get another one free, was because there are a lot of people in Connecting Consciousness who can't afford the money up front. So what they've been doing is putting money away each week. And I found out that a lot of them wouldn't have had the money if the cutoff date had been the 31st. So what I've been able to do is negotiate a two-week extension so that Connecting Consciousness members who haven't got enough money now but will have in 2 weeks' time, they won't miss out. The whole point is to try to make sure that as many people as possible can obtain them. So that's really important. The other reason that I was keen to move the date was because the 31st was the Brexit day when Britain left the European Union. Britain is no longer in the European Union. And I didn't actually want to be associated with a political move. Now, I've made my views very widely known. I'm very pleased to be out of the political element of Europe, but nevertheless, I didn't want us to be drawn into a political argument about that. So, two-week extension, still buy one, get one free. When you buy one of these sticks, don't expect two to arrive at the same time. You will get one stick, which is the one of St. George slaying the dragon. And then when the holograph with our logo has been properly done, we sent a high quality image across some while ago, but we've had some issues because it's got to be laser cut. The pixelation wasn't good enough, so we've had to really up the quality of that. But when they're made, and we're looking in February, so this month, then you will start to get them. So if you get one in the post and you expected two, you will get the other one, but it won't come at the same time. That's an important point to make. Anyone who's got questions on the science, for instance, people are saying, you know, I'm testing it with this, that, and the other, and I can't seem to get a reading, or I can't get a response that I understand. Jacques Bauer, Dr. Jacques Bauer, very kindly in a conversation with me, said that if members of Connecting Consciousness wanted to email him with legitimate questions, you know, not just to be rude or to be ridiculous, but if you had a legitimate question, he promised to answer every one. So if you are struggling to understand how these sticks work, if you don't, you know, comprehend, and I mean that properly, you don't comprehend the science behind it, I don't fully, because I didn't do all those years in a university as those two guys have done, then write to Jack. Please don't write a whole essay, because the guy will be like me. He, you know, just try and be succinct with your questions. He will reply back to you. So there's no good in writing to me, because I'm not a scientist. I don't understand it. So we've made this arrangement. Go on their website and Jacques will write to you. You know, I was chatting with Becky the other night to our international coordinators, and our Spanish coordinator said that, you know, they didn't trust the 5G sticks because there wasn't a Spanish scientist behind them. And I said, well, I'm really sorry that I couldn't. I mean, my coordinator was laughing with me, but he said that was the feedback from some people. And I said, well, I'm really sorry I couldn't find a Spanish scientist. We have got a Swiss scientist and a Serbian scientist. And, you know, there are some people that you just cannot please. You know, if the people are going to be distrustful because, you know, the factory is going to be in Switzerland. What is it in Switzerland, actually? Because most of the factories are in China. We don't want it in China. So, look, you know, there are certain things that we can do and certain things that we can't do. I've got an absolute ton of positive emails coming back saying that people, CC members, have actually felt a difference. And I've agreed that we're going to put a link on, and you know, if you're interested and you're still debating whether to buy a stick, you can actually go and read these testimonials, I suppose that's the terminology, isn't it? And these are CC members. And before anybody says, oh, somebody must have paid them to write that, because I know there'll be people. You know as well as I do, there are people like that. Oh, they must have been paid to do that. If anybody's a CC member and says that, let me have your resignation, okay? Because people write in out of their own free will. People will write in and they will say whether they found a benefit out of it or whether they didn't. And we'll put a range out there. I won't just put, you know, if there are any ones that are negative. And I mean positively negative in the sense that people are saying, well, you know, I was within 5 feet of it and it seemed to work. And then I was at 7 feet, it didn't work. Well, you know, why is that? And shouldn't it be a bigger field? Then, you know, those are questions that I'm very happy to take. A lot of people are saying they're not sure what to do with it when it arrives. So when you open the stick, what I'd like you to do is to hold it in your hand. It's very important you hold it in your hand. This is not AI technology. This is a much more consciousness technology. And I want you to hold it in your hand, and then you need to charge it. And you charge it by putting it into a USB stick, into your laptop or your computer. They say half an hour, I'd leave it for an hour. I'd like you to do that. You put it into the USB stick when it arrives, I beg your pardon, into the USB port when it arrives. You charge it for 1 hour, then take it out and again hold it in your hand and just sit and read a book for a few minutes, because what you're doing is you're encoding it to yourself. This is the level of technology. You know, these are not $25 sticks bought off the back of a lorry somewhere and then shipped out. These are sticks that are bought, sent to a process that is secret. Of course it's secret, it's got a patent on it. The Serbian professor is very jealously guarding his secret, of course he is. And the technology is placed on that and then they're shipped out. So when that arrives, make sure if it's your stick, you're the first one to hold it, you encode it to yourself, you put it into the laptop, you charge it for 1 hour, please, then you take it out, you hold it back in your hand, read a book or whatever, just for 20 minutes, that's all. That stick is yours now. And what you need to do is, if you're in the house, put it back into the laptop so that the purple light is activating and you can see it's charging, but it's working, producing a much bigger field. And so you want to go out to the store, take it out, put it in your pocket, and that will protect you while you're out. You come back, you put it in. So that's how we work it. Now, are there any other questions on a scientific nature, please write to Jacques. The response we're getting from people is amazing. And I personally, and so is Becky, we've been trialing it. And although we don't have 5G active here, you know, we do spend a lot of time on the computers. And I have noticed a lack of, I would never say I suffered very badly from headaches, but certainly the tiredness is gone. And that's absolutely attributable, as far as I'm concerned, to the stick. All right, that's fine. Let's do this business in China. Becky, was there a question on China you were going to take, or did you?
Yes, there are. There are a couple.
All right, so look, I'll do that.
There are quite a few.
I'll answer those, and then whatever's not been covered, I'll add on. Okay. Quickly then, as expected in America, the Senate decided they wouldn't call any extra witnesses, and that they wanted to move quickly through the trial. And so what will be interesting is that, of course, President Trump will be acquitted. Now, what will be really interesting is whether the House then goes for impeachment again. Now, I know you may think that's absolutely ridiculous. It's not. There are some rumours at a high level that when the Senate acquits President Trump, the House may immediately start the impeachment process again. Now, there's a big argument going on because some senior Democrats are saying that that could be counterproductive, and a lot of potential Democratic voters will lose patience, and therefore on November the 3rd, when the election is, they'll actually sit at home and they won't vote. But other Democrats are saying we've just got to keep on doing it. What's important for your November the 3rd vote is that it's not just the president that's up for grabs. It is, I believe, a quarter or a third of the Senate, but it's the whole House. The whole House. So there is a potential here for Trump to be re-elected and have both houses Republican. And so the last thing the Democrats want to do is to make that happen. And so that's the debate now. So if you think it's all over, no, it isn't, because there are people pushing to start the impeachment process again. All right, let's go on with the questions, because I know a lot of it's going to be about China.
Okay. The first question is from Ursula, who says, did China steal coronavirus from Canada and weaponize it?
Right. I understand where the question is coming from. The answer is no. Those of you who've been very kindly, you know, following me, as they say, for a while, will remember that in 2013, I think it was, I got a tour around a space radar base. And that space radar base is actually managed by a company called Serco. Serco is an agency, a multinational technological agency that has a lot of military contracts from the United States government. In actual fact, they also run all the traffic lights, the signals in London, and some of the telephone exchanges, etc., etc. So they're an arm's length government agency from the US. And it's just the sort of thing that happens because when a government doesn't want to be obviously involved, it will set up an arm's length organization. Think about James Bond, that fictional character of Ian Fleming. They would always say, well, look, James, if you get caught, we'll deny any knowledge of you. That's exactly it. So if anything goes wrong, then these organizations have to take it and stand on their own. And the government says, don't know what you're talking about. And you'd think, well, why would these organizations put themselves in that position? And the fact is, the contracts are incredibly lucrative and they can't go anywhere else. You know, the governments have chosen certain organizations. So Serco, I can tell you, has a hand in the patenting of the virus. The virus was created in an American, not a Canadian, in an American laboratory. And those of you who haven't had the time to look on my website, I've got the 45 or 47 pages which were sent to me of the patent. So you can see that the Americans isolated this from somewhere, person, an animal, did what they needed to do to it and changed it enough so that it could now be owned, isn't it funny, owned by them, but obviously the American funders behind it, and it's their property, so they have the patent on that. Now, I think it was 1992 when Bush, the president, said, oh, you know, a biological weapon, a bioweapon is a very useful thing to have. So I don't believe that China wanted to wipe out its population. There are a couple of websites going around basically saying that China wanted to do that. We can be sure they didn't, because they wouldn't seal off all the cities. If the Chinese elite wanted to, you know, knock out as many people as possible in China, they wouldn't take the stringent actions they've been taking, and they are pretty draconian. You know, earth movers dumping tons of rock over motorways, freeways, no cars in or out, trees being chopped down and dumped on it, and all the roads blocked, all of the trains, but the only thing coming in are one road where the military have a checkpoint and helicopters, and one train line coming into the stricken cities. So no, it isn't in this, not the Chinese wanting to do that. This is an external attack. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Peter asks, what is the link between 5G and the coronavirus in Wuhan?
Okay, that might be a surprising question for some people, but Wuhan was one of the early testers for 5G, and in fact, the density of aerials is quite close. There's a conspiracy bit and a non-conspiracy bit. The non-conspiracy bit is, I'm not saying I agree with this, I'm just telling you what is going on in these conversations thousands of miles away from me. They believe that if they whack up the 5G to top whack, it might kill the virus. Isn't that incredible? I don't believe it for one minute. But they actually are so desperate that they actually think that if they bathe everyone in microwaves in the Wuhan area, that it will actually not kill the virus, but it will mutate the virus. They believe that by hitting a person with that, it will change the cellular structure of the person and it will make the virus mutate so that it isn't such an effective transmitter. That's a real debate going on. There's another group there that wants 5G up and running, knows that it will have a very detrimental effect, but says doesn't matter if people die, we'll just blame it on the virus. It's quite a clever cover. So that's the debates going on. And that's what I can tell you, that and I don't know which party is going to win, but that's the argument they're doing. The middle-ranking government is in an absolute panic. But for the first time ages, the people at the very top, instead of running around crazy, are actually really trying to do something about it. And if we get the question as to why the Chinese government are acting so decisively, that's great. But if I don't get a question, I'll just answer it anyway. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Oscar from Texas says, where do we draw the line between service to others and being someone's fool? I'm all for helping others, but I think it's wrong to let people use you.
You're absolutely right. And the point is that when it becomes obvious that somebody says, oh, you know, George, Ted, Fred, Muriel, they'll just do it, they'll just do anything for you. When it reaches that point, that's the point to say no, because somebody isn't coming to you because they genuinely need help. Someone's coming to you because you're an easy push, you'll easily just do it. Just because somebody is bad to you or difficult to you doesn't mean the next person will be. So you can't judge everyone else from the experience that you've just had. Only give what you can afford to give. And I don't mean materially, physically, money-wise. I mean everything. Only give what you can afford to give. And if you think that somebody should be doing more, then you say to them, you know, someone who comes to you and borrows money off you, you know, you might be quite happy to do it, but you'd say, well, I'll only give you half. You fundraise the other half. So you put them back into that effort. Or can you go to the shops for me? Well, I went for the shops for you yesterday because, you know, your dog had died, and I went to the shops to you the day before that because Auntie was ill. You know, what is it today? In other words, you have to be sure there's a legitimate reason. If there's a legitimate reason, then you should do it. But if someone is just trying to use you or take you for granted, then no, you don't. And only you can judge when that point's been reached. And anybody who's a good person won't try and take advantage of you. But those people, unfortunately, there's a lot of them, will get anyone to run around for them. So yeah, it's absolutely fine. Service to others is the absolute gold standard, and service to self is the lead standard. But the point is that we don't give so much to other people that we are destroyed ourselves, because that's not profitable for humanity. So, you know, yeah, you do have to decide, you know, that person I think is genuine, I'll help them, and that person, no, that's not as important. You know, thank you, I hope that helps.
Thank you. I was just thinking as well, from a shamanic point of view, it's got a lot to do with boundaries and personal boundaries. You know, we have to have our boundaries, we have to protect ourselves, and we have to honour ourselves. But we can, you know, we can still live life being good to others and being of help to others and being pleasant to others, and being of service where we can. But, you know, as you're saying, if we don't, if the bottle's empty, then there's nothing more to give. So it is a question of maintaining your own personal balance and doing things from the heart rather than perhaps, you know, deciding things from the head all the time.
Well, I think that most people would just, you know, do it from the heart. I think that's the problem. That's what the questioner is saying, because your natural reaction is to want to help. Yeah. And that's coming from the heart. But it's the head that says, hang on a minute, you know, what's going on? So, but Becky's right that the initial response must be from the heart. But I think what the head's got to do is to say, you know, is this a fair deal? Right, next question, please.
Okay, thank you. James says, hi, Simon. I've been trying to contact you for a couple of years now. I need your help to do with my lab, Project Mannequin, and all sorts of negative entities like the Greys, Demons, and Demimura. I've been doing the best I can on my own. I'm a strong psychic. I can fight off a lot of entities, no problem. But it's the 4th D tech I need help with. I've pulled back appalled. So many black tentacle, parasitical, worm, squid, mantra looking things out of my brain and my spine. Fine. You're a brilliant guy. Keep up the good work and please contact me.
Well, fine. I won't contact you if you would contact Becky. I know we've got the question in, but how it works under free will is if you would send a message to Becky, mm-hmm. Specifically asking for assistance. It's difficult, isn't it? Because many people say, well, you know, I'm spiritual and, you know, I'm psychic and why can't I do it? Why can't I fix myself? And often some of the things that are out there are beyond the historical understanding of the soul of many people. Perhaps I need to explain a bit. If you are 100,000 years old in the soul, or a million or 10 million, and you have existed in a particular field or a particular energy zone, and you don't have the experience of the lower fourth, which is where most of this bad stuff is coming from, then are you not in this lifetime equipped with the tools to do that? But you might be very good at, you know, literally healing bones or, you know, taking away someone's cancer. So when you're talking about satanic magic, this is what I label the lower fourth, you have to be a very specific individual in terms of the lifetimes you've had and where you've had them to A, understand what you're trying to dismantle, and B, being able to do that. There are many people that know what to do but are not able to do it. And I used to continually, I'm sure you all got very fed up with it, but didn't really understand it. I would talk about the priest holding the cross up to the vampire and, you know, get back, you demon, and the vampire laughs and knocks the cross out of the guy's hand and kills him. And, you know, the point is, why wasn't the vampire frightened of the cross? Why wasn't the vampire frightened of the religious man? And it didn't mean the religious man was a bad man, but it didn't have what it took to defeat that, although that guy could have done lots of other good things. So please send a message to either Andy, probably Andy, because we're being hammered a little bit this end. If you've got Andy's email, just say you would like help. But I will also, under the circumstances, ask Becky to dig out your email address and pass it across to me anyway. Okay, thank you for writing in.
Okay, thank you.
Now it's that moment where I want to thank people who have been so kind and generous in sending me what they can to keep the fight going on. So thank you very much to John, Amanda, Frederic, Shari, Atap, Igor, Robbie, Ari, Joanne, Manuel, Ellen, Dave, Brian, Anne, Silva, Martha, Martine, Goodmunda, Cheryl, it's Michelle, Lisa, Charlie, David, Janelle, Charlotte, Leif, Andre, Drumset, Eric, Abby, Ivana, Sheridan, Akibono, Louise, Valerie, Thomas, Bob, Donald, Alan, Sheila, Robert, Sue, Hila, and David. And there are others, but as you would expect, we've had a fair issue with the internet, and sometimes it's quite hard to get the signal and to keep hold of it. So if your name wasn't written out, but you did send something, I'm very grateful to you, and, you know, thank you very much indeed. All right, let's see if we can do a few more questions.
Okay, well, the first one is not a question, but it's a review of the 5G biofield.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Zara says that she would like to share her experience of the 5G. She says, feels like a lifesaver to me. always been very sensitive to EMFs, been harder to remedy since its effects recently. For example, I can't sleep if a no data mobile is on at night by mistake, and recently stopped being able to sleep and couldn't understand it, but her body wouldn't switch off despite all efforts, as if there were Wi-Fi or, and phones. But after 3 weeks of no sleep, her wonderful stick arrived, and she said she put it under her pillow initially at night, and the difference was amazing. Not only did she sleep, but felt that her body was being able to relax deeply. And it turns out that her neighbour just got the highest superfast fibre broadband, and so she says this works.
Okay, it's the fibre wouldn't be the problem, it's when it reaches the router or the device that then sends it out the Wi-Fi. When it's contained in the cables under the ground, it's not such a threat, it's not a threat. It isn't just 5G that's the problem, you know, it is 4G. If you are being bathed in that continually, and there are other devices that use Wi-Fi or wireless to a lesser extent, but if we think about our average life and, you know, every day what we come into contact with, it may not even be 5G, but we are affected, and there are a ton of people who are incredibly sensitive. And when Becky and I did the Connecting Consciousness meeting in London in September, both her and I and a sizable portion of the audience had awful headaches for part of that, and it was absolutely because they were trialing that part of London. 5G was on at a very low level. Now if you come from an area where there isn't 5G and then you travel into an area that there is, boy do you pick it up, boy do you notice it. And I know a lot of these organizations who are running this 5G started on a very, very low output, and then over many months they're turning it up in the hope that people won't really appreciate the difference. So it's very marked when you come in from an area without to an area that's got it. And absolutely, and I wish that we'd had those sticks back then in September, because that would have, it'd have really made it okay. So many people are far more sensitive to these waves than I am, and for them it can be crippling. So you know, thank goodness, and I'm glad that that's helped you. So thank you for writing in, and yeah, that's great.
Okay, the next question is from Jordan, who says, wondering why some people don't like animals. You are an animal person. Is it specifically something, in brackets, planet of origin, that makes these individuals avoid pets or animals? Maybe it's a silly question, but I feel that these individuals are missing something. Kindness? Thanks so much for all you do.
Okay. Well, it's very difficult, isn't it, to say that a person is or isn't because they didn't have an animal. I know back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, it was quite a common thing to say that, you know, if a child or children grew up with a pet, then they learnt not kindness directly, but they learnt how to understand an animal that couldn't speak in English or French or German, and therefore the child had to become more attuned to a being that couldn't ask for something directly, and so were more gentle with that animal maybe. So I think that children who have that connection with animals at an early age tend to be more considerate to humans when they get older. That's my opinion. And there are a lot of people who, for whatever reason, didn't have animals, didn't have that connection, you know, and did find it difficult. But then, you know, you've got the opposite, haven't you? You've got Adolf Hitler, who purportedly only got on well with animals and children. Couldn't get on with adults because they would argue back. So I think we have to be very careful to blanket anything. What I can say is that if you have the time for an animal, then you are in a different relationship than you would be with a person, and maybe it teaches you certain skills that you wouldn't have with a person. But you know, there are many reasons why people can't have an animal. Some people are allergic to them, some people just don't have it. When I was working in London Borough of Tower Hamlets in London, for the local city council down there, I had a small team of staff. The great thing about London is that people come from all over the world. One of my members of staff was Spanish, and she just couldn't understand why British people had animals, because, you know, cats and dogs were semi-wild. And there are many countries where you don't keep a cat or a dog, and of course the English, I'm using that word deliberately, were always laughed upon because of this strange connection that we have with animals. So we must remember that other cultures, you know, their attitude is different. But yeah, I would go along with your logic on that. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Solos says, "Hi Simon, thanks for all you do for humanity. Does Harry abandoning his HRH title imply the start of the royals getting out of being held responsible? Their time is coming to an end, and they need to save themselves from what's to come."
Yes and no. I'm actually very supportive of Harry. I know there's a lot of establishment figures that think he's betrayed the Queen and the royal family and all the rest of it, and very cross with him. Look, if you're in a family where, you know, a member of that family or more than one member of that family has done things that are a crime against humanity, and look like they're about to come out, and you have a young family, you know, wouldn't you want to get the hell out of there? And I think that if Nostradamus is right, Prince Charles is the last king of England, that's a prediction from Nostradamus, then maybe it is time to get out, because if it's all going to implode, then you weren't, you know, the one who was, you know, jumping because it was obvious the place had fallen in. If you leave prior to that, then you can have some dignity and say, you know, I left when, you know, it was still together, and I made that choice because I wanted to do that. So I think it puts him in a very good position, because he's saying, look, I want to make my own future, not on the back of the royal family. I want to try and make my own living, and I don't want to be associated with what's been going on there. Now, that's clear, because he wasn't talking to the Queen. He was doing things without the Queen's permission. And that's always a sign that the family is completely split down the middle. So no, I'm very supportive of him. I think that he's a good guy. I think he's getting as much distance between him and what's coming out. I mean, Andrew made that big statement that he said that back in December of last year, that he would work with law enforcement. If law enforcement wanted to talk to him about this Epstein business, then he would say so. And of course, we had last week the FBI announcing that, you know, he hadn't replied to them. They'd written to his lawyers on a number of occasions, and you know, he wasn't going to talk to them. And then Andrew was saying, "Well, look, you know, I haven't had any letter from them. You know, they haven't had any communication. I don't know what they're talking about." Here's the truth: Andrew said to his lawyers, "Don't let me know." Absolutely, the FBI wrote to his lawyers, but his lawyers were under orders not to tell Andrew, so Andrew could legitimately claim that nobody had told him. This is the shenanigans, as we would say, that's going on here. So Andrew's quite right, quite technically correct. He didn't know, because he'd instructed his lawyers not to pass any information across. He has got absolutely no intent of going to the United States and answering any questions, because of all the extra evidence that's come out, it would be very good for the FBI to be able to interview him on the pretext of his association with Epstein, but really then sneak in other questions. And Andrew knows about that, because Andrew knows other names, other people, and the last thing he's going to do, so he'll probably never go to America ever again. That's him finished for that. So it's very disingenuous, and and I believe there's a great deal hidden. Now, whether it will come out or not, as long as the Queen is the Queen, I just can't see it coming out at all. But maybe when the Queen goes and Charles takes over, might be then that something else comes out. So Andrew isn't the sort of man that would be invited to a connecting consciousness tea party. I wouldn't really fancy Andrew coming and pressing the flesh, as we say, shaking hands. We really wouldn't want him to associate with our organisation. But some of the others, I think, you know, they could come and give a presentation and talk about what it's like to be a royal family member. Wouldn't that be interesting? You know, it would be good for a 20-minute little chat, wouldn't it? And then we could get onto some serious matters about the planet. But basically, no, I think that you know, the other members of the family who are not into the crimes that some of them are, I think, are doing what they need to do, which is go. And I think that the very fact that the establishment are attacking him proves that he's a good guy. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Klaus says, "Dear Simon, a Swiss spirit healer claims that 25% of all humans have a reptilian soul and are totally evil, that there is no chance for them to be healed. God will totally destroy them because these souls are so evil. Would you agree on that? It would be horrible if every fourth human had a reptilian soul."
Oh, that's me done then, isn't it? No, I'm not 100%. Remember what I first said all those years ago? One third reptilian, one third mantis or mantid, and one third hollow earth human. Well, I made the flippant joke there because, I mean, that's just ludicrous, isn't it? How can a healer, this is what the person is calling himself, styling him. Hello, rookie. The white cat is calling. Time to have some tea, I think. How can someone who professes to be a healer go and basically write off, you know, a quarter or so of a population? That is not spiritual, and that's just utter nonsense. It's garbage. Total garbage. What I say is that we do not judge people in connecting consciousness in terms of, you know, your makeup. What we judge is whether you are on the same side as humanity, whether you have a vision of success and not of destruction and despair and pain and horror. And there are plenty of people who literally start off being bad and go good, and there are plenty of people who start off being good and go bad. So no, that is ridiculous, because there are people who have a very strong reptilian part to them that naturally then are service to self, but as they go through their life and journey, they have a spiritual awakening, they have a change, and they suddenly realize and they recode the program, they recode the value that they wish to live by. So they don't change the soul stays, but it's choice. A choice to change. And that's what, surely to goodness, this is about. It's about redemption. It's about 1 minute to midnight, the last chance saloon, the Draconis reptilians or anything else, having an epiphany and saying, wow, we've been wrong all this time. We now need to make amends and be good. And that's really what it's about. Because once the hands strike midnight, and we're not far off it now, it's in our lifetimes, that's it. It's not good after the hands strike midnight to say, oh, I think I was wrong. Too late. Doors shut for that cycle. And basically, we must never ever judge somebody. Imagine when I set connecting consciousness up. And I mean, there are a lot of organizations that call themselves spiritual, but well, we won't have any reptilian type people in our organization, or we won't have any of this. We'll just have all the lovely Palladian people, you know, and then on Friday, we'll have Archangel Michael in, and then on Saturday, maybe Gabriel will pop in, and if we're really, really good, Jesus Christ will come and visit us. That is not a spiritual organization. That is an organization that's setting rules by which the organizer or the founder values the way it should be. So excluding everybody else except for this smaller group. Isn't that what the religious organizations are about? You know, if you're part of our club, you can come in, but everyone else, unless you forswear and you do penance and you get down on your knees and all the rest of it, then unless you do all that, you're not part of our group. And what I've said with Connecting Consciousness is that everybody who is good, regardless of what is their soul, regardless of the color of their skin or the makeup or anything like that, if you're a good person and you're prepared to be good and you understand you're awake and aware, come and join. You know, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? But if you're a Palladian person or an Andromedan person and you're full of hate, I don't want you. And if you're a reptilian person, you're full of goodness, of course. So anyone who stands there and says that is a religious nut, because those are the days of fire and brimstone. You know, when Moses stood here and 10,000 people were struck down here and 5,000 were struck down there. Now, we've moved on from that. This should be humanity at a level now where it is not going to be controlled by any religious or any false values. You know, we still, you know, get fined if we park on the wrong way on the highway or we do this. Those rules apply, but the choice of humanity must be to see through to the good in everybody and give everyone the opportunity to, you know, change the ways and to do good work for others, and to immediately say, everybody on this side of the line, that's it, goodbye, is wrong. So no, I'm quite passionate about that, because when I was forming Connecting Consciousness, I did look at a number of other organizations. And basically, unless you were a very, very narrow type of band of person that wouldn't let you in, you know, and that's what you call a clique or a club. And you could call Connecting Consciousness a club, but we've got pretty open door policy here. So thank you for the question. It's a good point.
Okay, thank you. Hella says, dear Simon, when I was about 4 years old, today I'm 57, I had my first contact with strange beings in my room at night. One evening, like days before, I was in my bed and scared. I knew I'm not alone in that room. Suddenly I heard three beings talking. They talked very relaxed, in a strange language, a combination of growling and speaking. I listened anxiously for a while, then started crying. At that moment, they realized that I can hear them. Last, they made a comment similar like, she'll understand one day, then they disappeared just before my mother entered the room. What kind of beings visited me and why? I hope I can get an appointment with you one time. Thank you.
Bless you. I wonder if that's the same person I read out. I called her Hela.
H-E-L-L-A.
Yeah, I pronounce that as Hela. Just okay. Went on the donation list. Anyway, it's fine. It's just... You know what my mind's like, how I join and connect stuff.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I can't give you an answer, unfortunately, because the detail's not good enough. You know, that's why it's worth talking, I suppose, because I would then ask you a bunch of questions and then I'd be able to draw the information. What can we do now? Well, you heard some noises, like growlings, I think you said, which didn't mean anything to you, and then at the very end you got an English sentence. It doesn't really help us. What we can say is that we can rule out Palladian, Andromedan, Arcturan, Lyran, so we're moving away from the human type line and we're moving to something that's a bit more non-human. But the non-humans can still telepathically communicate in excellent human language, whether it's French, German, Dutch, English, doesn't matter. No, I can't help you that. Yes, let's get an appointment. I can ask all the questions I need to ask. Clearly, you weren't there to hurt you, because you didn't write in that you felt any discomfort or you were frightened. The question is whether they intended you to see them and be aware as part of your waking up process, and often they'll do this, or whether they were convinced that you couldn't see or hear them, and then when it became obvious that you could, they then dropped into your language to let you have something and then disappear. But either way, you're really lucky because you've experienced something that you know you weren't hallucinating. You know that you weren't having a midlife crisis or a nervous breakdown, or you've been on the magic mushrooms. You know that there's life outside of what we're taught. You actually know some of the truth. And an incident like that, or seeing a real true UFO, or having something that you categorically can't dismiss, is a life changer for the better, normally. In other words, it suddenly opens you out on this vista that you've never understood. It's like the shutters of the windows being opened, and oh my goodness me, I can see so much more than I could before, and I begin to understand. And you go on this process of research and understanding, and it makes you a much more capable human being, and it's part of the aspect of actually being what human is. A human is a part of many different dimensions, is a part of the greater creation. We're not, as the Bible would tell you, standalone objects that live or die by our actions, but we are intricately connected to the planet. It's a tree or an animal or a river or a energy line. We're absolutely connected to living creatures outside of our realm. And so when a person has an experience that they choose to accept, remember, lots of people get the opportunity, but through fear, they say, I didn't see it, or I don't want to see it, or I don't want to talk about it. And so they squander that opportunity at that point because they were not strong enough to look at it, accept it, and then say, what do I do with it? Maybe 20 years later they might, but those people who have an experience and don't run away from it, you are the very people who will evolve at a much faster rate, because you have not run away through fear. You've accepted it and said, okay, let's look into this a bit more. And that's fantastic. You know, that's why it's very obvious when you meet a group of people who are the spiritually aware and who aren't. And many of those people have seen or had experiences which have fundamentally changed their perspective of life. That's a really good question, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Terry asks, have you ever seen or removed entities that build something like a tum, and she spelled that T-U-M, inside and outside of a person? They go through like spears that spin and get bigger every day. I know that sounds weird, but that's what I'm seeing and feeling.
Unfortunately, I wish people would give me a little bit more information. Please, it's so important. I know I've asked you not to write huge loads of books to me because I just haven't got the time, and Becky hasn't got the time, but okay, I'm assuming it's going to be black. This is an offshoot of Orion technology. It's not the traditional Orions. This is one of the offshoots of it. This is an offshoot that is connected back to Sumeria and is strangely connected to the splinter group from the Pleiades. So yes, I'm familiar with it. What I'm not grasping is this increase in size. Generally, these things spin clockwise and not counterclockwise, and they produce the energy. This is what's happening. The spinning is producing the energy. It's drawing the energy. It's self-powering itself. Some of the Orion technologies are stationary, but obtain the power from you. This is a device that spins to obtain the power, so I'm familiar with it. I think the best thing to do would be to try and get an appointment with me and see if I can give you some help. But I am familiar with what you describe. Thank you for writing in.
Okay, thank you. Susan says, because I was already struggling in a bad dream, I woke with a start in fight mode. In my darkened room, I saw a large, blacked-out figure with broad shoulders. I could not detect physical features. I angrily glared at this figure and was ready to pounce, but then, I imagine, he spoke to me in my mind. He said he woke me from the dream with a shove to my right hip because I was too tired and wouldn't have been able to do it myself, like I normally would. I grunted, accepting this answer, then turned my back and went to sleep. Do you think this was real? I didn't seem to know this large, 7 to 9 foot tall man, so why on earth would I turn my back on him? Who or what do you think he was?
Well, of course it was real. Oh, it's a reptilian. There's no question of that. Broad-shouldered, 7 foot to 9 foot, it's reptilian. I don't think it's necessarily good. We can't be sure, but we can be nearly sure. You turn your back on him because he'd already gone into your mind and told you everything was okay. You know, you need to go to sleep. Incredibly psychic creatures, able to get into people's minds and play all sorts of tricks. The question is what it was after and what it was doing, and whether that's the first time. Might be not the first time, but the first time that you remember it. This may have been going on since you were a child, or it might have been that you'd inadvertently done something. Some people can handle an ancient object, a secret, sacred object, or they find an old book in a bookstore that's 300 years old, and these things can activate. Or they see a horror film, or they play a horror game on a computer, or they have a book that's a horror book, and even something like that can let something in. That's why in this house, absolutely no horror books, don't have any horror films, keep them away, because that's how these other entities can come through, and we're having to fight with quite enough as it is, thank you very much. So there often is a reason why something will come to you. Might be generational through the family. There is just a very small chance that it is opportune. You know, like you park your car and you go into the store, and unfortunately you leave your wallet in view and someone steals it because they just walk past at that moment. That can happen, but in most cases it's planned and meticulously worked out. They don't use money, but they have time and energy. And for somebody to come all this distance, to stand in a room and just say, oh, well, I woke you out of a dream because you wouldn't have done it. That's not happening. I think you were probably given the dream and then just being and interacting with you. So what I'm saying to you is that don't just look at the moment the creature arrived and what happened. You need to look at the lead up to it, because often they will manipulate the circumstances around or the situations before. They don't normally manipulate after the event. Once it's all over, that's generally truthful, and what you see is what you get. But just because things seem to be okay 2 minutes or 3 minutes before this happened, that could still be something that you need to look at. So yes, it's true. Absolutely, it's true. Your story matches time and time and time again. People from every walk of life, from every language on the planet, basically, same type of experience, same type of thing. And the most important question is, why you? And once we understand why the individual is being active with, then we can begin to understand what's drawing it, and if we want to try and stop it, we have a handle on trying to stop it. Again, it's a good question. Thank you for writing in, because there must be a ton of people out there who have had similar experiences but didn't really want to write in or didn't want to share it. And, you know, now they know that there are other people like them, ordinary people, who are getting these great, dark, tall figures in their room. And that's empowerment, because when you realize that these creatures are doing the rounds, you know, they're visiting quite a lot, you begin to get more of a picture. So Thank you for that. Do we have another time for one more question?
We do. I've just got a question on that. So is it not possible that this reptilian being could be some sort of guardian? There could be some sort of soul agreement between the person and the reptilian, and they were actually, the reptilian just sort of came in to protect the person at a point where she may have been in trouble in a dream situation, but that might have been more than a dream.
I get your question. There are three calculates on this one. The reptilian group will only bodyguard something that is of value to them. Mm-hmm. A reptilian will only look out for or bodyguard something that has reptilian in it. It doesn't have to be 100% reptilian, but it has to have some reptilian in it. They don't waste the time. For all we know, it might have been a good force on the dream, and the reptilian then was trying to prevent the good force. Mm-hmm. It could be that it was another faction from the bad side, and the reptilian was protecting its property. It was protecting its stake. It was protecting the soul in the body of the person, because that was its duty. There will be, say, an AI, an artificial intelligence attack against a person, and that is also the enemy of the reptilian. So if the reptilian is bodyguarding an individual and the AI attacks, then the reptilian will intercede against the AI if it can, not because it's a friend of the person, but because that's its duty, is to defend that. So we have to, there's so many possibilities. Mm-hmm. But I can definitely say to you that if you have a reptilian bodyguard, it is because you have reptilian in yourself, and it's not really a bodyguard. It's actually there to keep you on what it sees as straight and narrow, and to prevent you from evolving and changing. So that a number of the clients I've worked with have had reptilian bodyguards, and we had to get rid of them because there was no way my client could have evolved or would have evolved if the reptilian contract had still been there. Mm-hmm. Contract, less of a contract and more of we will do this. In other words, you know, you might have free will to say no, but they've got free will to say yes. But I would say yes, in a quarter of all cases there is a contract, although in most of those cases it's been tricked. It's trickery. So you sign up to something thinking you've got something, you get something completely different. In some cases, you know, very small number of cases, it's actually fully understood and a genuine contract. There's lots of possibilities there. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. We've got time for a couple more questions.
Oh, good, okay.
Desiree from the Netherlands says, "Dear Simon, I'm aware of entities taking my energy, especially at night. Mm-hmm. It starts me having a dream which causes me anxiety, and then they take my energy. Lately, I wake up from this kind of dreams, but I cannot prevent it. Sometimes I see these creatures in my dream, and they look really hideous, ugly. One time I saw these lower energies hovering over my dog, who was asleep, but shaking because she was having a bad dream. Mm. What I saw was four flat squares moving over each other, and the colour was a kind of brown and black. So they do it to animals too. I am an energy worker. I can transform energies and align people and more. How can I protect myself? Greetings from the Netherlands."
So when we talk about black objects floating, it's normally a demonic type thing. You know, for the last few thousand years we've used the word jinn. I guess in a thousand years' time it'll be a different name if we're, you know, still able to see them. That's the fifth dimension. But if flat boxes are lower fourth dimension, there's absolutely no doubt about that. I remember as a 5-year-old boy, when I lived in Brighton, Father Christmas literally came into the bedroom, and he was on a sleigh, and he looked perfectly real, and he was in colour, and had a big sack of presents, and instead of being on a sleigh, he was actually on a Wild West wagon. Those of you who perhaps seen my early stuff know that I was very keen on how the West was won. So I was very much into cowboys. Not cowboys and Indians, but how the West was won. And so no doubt someone had been in my mind, and there was Father Christmas on a stagecoach, basically, with four horses. But when I looked at the side, Father Christmas was as thin as a piece of paper. So front on, it looked properly 3D or whatever, 4D, whatever, I don't know, looked perfectly normal. But when I saw him on the side, thin as a piece of paper, and no image the other side, so it's completely flat, the other side, and yet the front side was perfectly as it should be. Well, we know that's a lower fourth dimensional technology. And you're talking about flat box shapes, so that's Orion technology. Yep, that's exactly what they do, they harvest energy. You need to book with me, and we'll have a talk of that through. So yes, fully understand what you're dealing with there. Very difficult to get rid of, because they operate on a very interesting, they use time. I don't want to go off on a tangent. When we think about time, we've been taught in school that that's the ruler, that's the start, that's the middle, and that's the end, and that's how we see it. And it's fair enough in this reality to grasp that. But when you go into the fourth dimension, or the fifth, or the sixth, or the seventh, time is not like that. And the greatest jump, literally, is from the third to the fourth. And this is not widely understood. If you jump from the fourth to the eighth dimension, it's not such a huge transition as from the third to the fourth, because time in the ninth dimension is exactly the same, or understood exactly the same, as in the fourth dimension. And so when certain things understand that time, they can use that as part of a trickery when dealing with beings that are in the third realm, in this dimension, this way this works. So they can manipulate time in a way that we can't, and they can use that as part of their control system. And so when we see these objects which appear to defy, you know, explanation, which we might say that's a holograph, that's you know, that's the best word we can come up with, but it's much more than that. And they are able to utilize time and space, and because they're in the lower fourth, they don't like chocolate. I'm being serious. They don't like chocolate, they don't drink coffee, they don't do recreational drugs. What they do is they require loosh, or energy, which humans as mammals provide. And so the lower fourth will actually take energy and store it and use it. It isn't just about keeping themselves alive, it's they can create magic with it. Many people on this planet, I call them people, who require that in order to do what they do. And so that is at a lower level, the fourth dimension is at a higher level. And so we are dealing with a different concept of a transference from physical to non-physical. And in the old days it was called magic, but it isn't, it's science. It's only called magic because people can't understand it. Magic is just another form of science. So when you see these strange things, you're not going mad, you're not having a hallucination, you are seeing something that you're not supposed to see. And the very fact that you're seeing it should give you the strength, because if you can see it, you can fight it. You can't fight something you can't see very easily. But if you've got the ability to sense it and see it, then you've really got something. So yeah, I'll work with you and see what I can do to help. Thank you for writing it.
Okay, thank you. J. Manuel says, "Hello Simon, thank you for all your work and dedication. How can I know the difference between witchcraft and or gang stalking? I've been suffering this for years. I've been trying to get an appointment as well with you. Thank you very much to Becky and for all people helping too."
Okay, well, if you're being gang stalked, then yeah, we do need to speak to you. And if we've got an email, then please write in. But we'll, you know, as in with the other case, Becky will pass the email and we'll get in touch with you as well. the question is a bit difficult because I understand it, but I don't understand it. If you gang stalk and you're part of another organization, remember there are lots of organizations that employ that tactic, then you would employ magic or witchcraft, shall we say that word, as part of that operation. So you could be gang stalked by a group of people who are not at all magical or into satanic stuff. They're just, you know, a group, military or whatever it might be. But then you'll get another group that contain psychics and will use magic. So you're going to use a witchcraft, you're talking about women. But there are a great deal of witches who are not part of any group, but are part of their own little cabalistic group, shall we say. And so it isn't so much about the witchcraft, that's a bit of a red herring. It's about the organization behind it. And, you know, if a person can tell me what's happening around them, I will actually be able to work out exactly who's behind it, whether it's a secret society or whether it's a military or whether it's off-planet or who it is. And we also have to understand why an individual is targeted, what's, you know, because if it's on this earth, it costs money. You know, to gang stalk someone costs thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, pounds. And so they don't do that unless their investment is good on that. So we have to build up a picture. So witchcraft is just another weapon in the arsenal of individuals, both good and bad, but that doesn't give us the full picture. So being a witch is actually not a bad thing. Using magic for evil purposes is a bad thing. Okay, so let's be clear here that just because someone is a practicing witch, that isn't a problem. The problem is, what are they doing with that? Yeah, let's see if we can talk. Thank you for writing
it. Okay, thank you. The last question of the day is from Malcolm, who says, "Hello, Simon. I've served my country for 2 decades, in brackets, as well as contracting. Have never seen a UFO and joked that I was not scared of the dark. Rather, what was in the dark was scared of me. However, I have big gaps in my memory of my career. I have dreams where I can smell, taste the air dust, feel the sun heat and humidity, smell the food cooking. I know the people, they know me, and am intimate with weapons, equipment and task requirements. Any suggestions? I've had an active roadblocks diverting me from certain paths within the military. Any thoughts and ideas would be appreciated. Thank you for your time and patience. Regards, Malcolm."
Sure. It's not as unique as you might expect. An organization will look at the resources it has, and it will have a whole range of methods to evaluate the individuals that, you know, are part of its family. And the best thing that they can do from their perspective is to have someone on the regular day job, and then to take them, and they're not aware of it, and put them on special operations, and then put them back into the day job. And the individual has consciously no memory of it whatsoever. The reason for that is that those individuals serve better. If you are aware of what you're doing, your judgment, your thoughts, your values begin to change. If you're not aware, you approach each new assignment as if it was the first. And therefore, your commitment, your success rate is actually higher. And also, it means that you're not available to go talking to people because you don't know what you've been up to. So you might be an armourer for fighter aircraft. It might be your job to be on the runway and rearm with cannon and rockets, and that's what you do. But you might be taken off on some special secret operation where you're doing exactly the same thing, but in a foreign country, and you know the government doesn't own up to it, and then that operation's finished and you go back and you go back and do the day job. That's what the secret space program is like. I mean, not everybody signs up for this willingly and knowingly and, you know, remembers it. Quite a lot of people end up being moved into it totally unaware, maybe spend 10, 20 years and then move back. The advantage of the secret space program, of course, is that if, and I've talked about how time is different, there's a real good chance that you could do 20, 30 years, but only age 5 or 10 years. Whereas if you're doing stuff on this planet, then that can't really be affected and you will age. It's a huge topic because there are so many people who are, after they leave the employment of their major boss, begin to get some bleed through of memories or dreams or flashbacks. And, you know, let's not underestimate the shock that if you've done 10 years, 20 years, 30, 40, whatever it is, and you find that often the view is it's a lie, my life has been a lie. That's not actually the truth, but that's how people feel. You know, I've been living a lie. I've been doing what I thought was the day job for 20, 30 years, and I've got this memory, and maybe I've been doing something else. And that's a heck of a shock. And there's a lot of people that need a lot of time to process and come to terms with that. So it's done simply because the less that you're aware of, the less trouble you can cause them and the more efficient you'll be. But as humanity is evolving, more and more people are getting the memories back. More and more people are questioning. And there will come a time very soon now when this can't happen and people will have to have your permission before they'll do anything. And this is, and I've said it before, it's a shame because a lot of the work that's been done is for the good of a country. It's for the right reasons. But what's wrong is that they're not asking permission. They're not coming to you and saying, look, can we have 20% of your time? We're going to take you off to Mars, or we're going to take you off here, and you're going to do all this secret stuff, but, you know, do you mind? Because most people would say, yes, I do mind, I'm not doing it. And that's why they don't ask permission, because most people would say no. And there are humans today that can do more than any robot, any computer. If AI was as they said it would be, then basically we wouldn't need us. But thankfully, the human condition is greater than any AI will ever be. Therefore, there will always be a role for humanity. And I think the point is that it's about respect. It's about saying to somebody, I'll lay everything on the table, and if you don't want to do the job, that's fine. But of course, we're not at that point. So please be aware that there's a lot of people who think they had a regular job, but actually they did something quite different. I want to thank everybody. I'm so sorry for the delay in the podcasts. It's not always possible. Do our best. And all I can say to you is if it doesn't happen, then it's because, you know, we are being, you know, got at, basically. But as you can see, we're still here. We're still doing what we need to do. We're just a bit late. Thanks for your patience. God bless. Take care.